Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Tuning in from. Today's webinar is on the subject of eStewards version 4.1. We will provide an overview of the standard, primarily an overview of the changes between version 4.1 and 4.0 for anyone who is familiar with the previous revision. The presentation can also serve as an overview of the standard for any clients who are interested in learning more about eStewards and are considering certification to eStewards. My name is Austin Matthews. I am the EHS Program Manager with PJR. I have a brief agenda on this slide for today's presentation. We will cover a little bit about PJR, who we are, what we do. We will cover the benefits of certification to a standard such as eStewards. We will highlight the key changes, again, kind of looking at version 4.0 compared to what is now version 4.1, which also provides some of the key requirements of the standard. We will provide an overview of the certification process for anyone who is interested in learning more about initial certification, what that process looks like. And we will close with any questions you might have. Feel free to type them into the question field in the GoToWebinar side panel, but I will save them for the end. Today's presentation is being recorded, so a copy of the recording as well as a copy of the slides will be made available on PJR's website. PJR is accredited to grant certification for a variety of standards. As I mentioned, eStewards is the subject of today's webinar. Some of these other standards may also look familiar to you. Benefits and drivers for certification vary by industry, by location, a number of factors, but some of the common denominators for eStewards certification are that commitment to preventing irresponsible or illegal handling of hazardous waste streams, promoting data security and protection, social responsibility, and environmental protection. That is what the eStewards standard represents. So by maintaining certification to the standard, you are representing that same commitment. The standard represents requirements that are geared toward reducing environmental, occupational health and safety, data security, and social accountability risks. There are business management drivers, including improving public image. Being able to advertise the commitment in the first bullet point can certainly improve public image. Sustainability and data protection are very significant motivators or hot topics right now. So again, that can improve public image and gain public attention, perhaps leading to additional business. Advertising the responsible management of electronics and electronic components by implementing the requirements of the standard and the controls for data security, trying to reuse, test, repair, reuse electronics, reducing waste, all of those things that again can be advertised and may provide a competitive advantage. The standard itself includes a framework for maintaining compliance with customer and/or regulatory requirements, including the Basel Convention. So again, in maintaining the requirements of the standard, the organization is to maintain or have assistance with maintaining the compliance of applicable requirements. A little bit about eStewards version 4.1. It was published last February. eStewards also published a transition plan that required all audits after April 23rd, 2022 to be conducted to version 4.1. The transition period has since ended at the end of April 22nd, 2023. So we are currently only doing audits to version 4.1. And all existing clients have completed their transition audit by now. Some of the key changes in eStewards version 4.1, comparing that to version 4.0. Version 4.1 accepts RIO certification in lieu of ISO 14001 as the prerequisite standard. The eStewards processor definition has been revised, and it clarifies that control extends even to electronic equipment that are not subject to processing. So that can shift the perspective quite a bit for some of the eStewards requirements. The definition of problematic components or materials, also known as PCMs, was also revised. PVCs were removed from that definition. PVCs are an HEW, which is already listed in the Basel Convention Annex under Y48. So that was redundant. There's a new definition for a processing facility that includes mobile processing, sampling, applicability to multi-sites, and the impact on the requirement for all relevant eStewards organizations to be required to achieve certification. So take a look at that definition as well. Those are found within the standard document itself. Section 6.1.3.1 requirements have been clarified, specifically regarding transboundary movement of wastes. Since it was decided, or clarified, I should say, that the eStewards standard really can't dictate to a government whether the prior informed consent proceedings in that specific region be utilized if that waste is not considered hazardous or controlled to that particular region. So the transboundary movement requirements have been revised or adjusted to acknowledge that if an area does not consider a specific waste hazardous and controlled, the prior informed consent requirements may not apply. The eStewards standard can recommend this process, can require it for countries who also reinforce that requirement, but for the standard to indicate prior informed consent is required for a government who is not going to be responding to that request, clients will be stuck waiting and waiting for a approval that will not be forthcoming because it doesn't align with the country or the region's protocols. There are revisions to the performance verification program, specifically the criteria that need to be included in the procedure or plan. And that is found in 6.1.4. Section 8.5.1b has been revised. The language regarding documentation of rechargeable battery health destined for reuse. This is in response to the definition of repurposing, which was revised. So if the definition for repurposing is revised, if it impacted any of the contents of the standard, they needed to change as well. So that's what we see in 8.5.1b. There's a new section, 8.5.1b3, that specifically allows for direct reuse of batteries without testing in specific instances where they can't be tested without presenting significant risk and where identified criteria are met. So if that might apply to your organization, definitely review that closely. There's also a new section in 8.5.1.1, which focuses on repurposing. So again, in alignment with the revised definition of repurposing, this section clarifies when repurposing can constitute an acceptable form of direct reuse to be used in conjunction with functionality and transparency requirements found in the Use Steward Standard. Has been clarified specifically regarding QSCs that will ultimately be tested by an IDP. eSteward really likes its acronyms. So qualified smaller components that will be tested by an immediate downstream processor. 8.6.1A is clarified in version 4.1 as to the expected evidence of conditionally allowable options or option approval, excuse me, on the part of the eSteward's administrator. So this specifies not just that the request for utilizing a conditionally allowable option has to be submitted, but really specifies what that approval from eSteward's needs to look like for an organization to go ahead and act on it or to start utilizing that option. The criteria in sections 8.8.2.1 and 8.8.2.3 have been revised to ensure non-eSteward's downstream processors maintain the criteria necessary to process and or dispose of the eSteward organization's materials of concern, and removal of the requirements for all downstream processors in the recycling chain to have closure plans instead of just immediate downstream processors. Section 8.9 contains some additional verbiage to data security expectations, NAID AAA certification transitions, and so on, in part to clarify the requirement for eSteward's organizations to protect personal data when received, even if the upstream or customer claims it has to be sanitized already, unless the customer maintains ownership throughout the processing. Sanctioned Interpretation A came out in conjunction with version 4.1, and this focuses on the main text or body of the standard primarily, including the definition section, without touching on the appendices sections very much, although there are instances where those changes do overlap. Sanctioned Interpretation B, on the other hand, primarily focuses on the changes within the appendices, but again, there is some overlap, so that's just a generalization. I also made a note on this slide that a significant portion of Sanctioned Interpretation B is really just the repeated mention of RIOS, that is now included as a prerequisite standard option instead of what was previously only accepted, which was ISO 14001. Clients now can choose their preference. For anyone who is considering certification, initial registration to eSteward's, I've included a summary of the certification process in the next couple of slides. The first step in pursuing certification to a given standard is to obtain a copy of the standard itself so you can see what the requirements are. Next would be establishing stewardship management system documentation to meet the eSteward's requirements. You'll want to conduct any training that's required by the standard or the management system, implement the management system requirements, including conducting an internal audit, conducting a compliance evaluation, and conducting a management review. You'll need a contract with a certification body such as PJR to conduct the audits and issue the certification. You'll need to complete a stage one audit and then a stage two audit, which I'll explain on the next slide, address any resulting nonconformances before a certificate can be issued. The registration audit consists of two stages. The stage one is primarily a document review to evaluate an organization's readiness for stage two. Stage two audit is a full system audit of the entire management system, and any nonconformities identified at the stage two will need to be resolved before a certificate can be issued to e-stewards. Once a certificate has been issued, it's good for 3 years. You enter into the two following years, which are the surveillance portion of the cycle, and then the third year in the cycle is the recertification. So 2 years worth of annual or semi-annual audits for the surveillance audit portion. And unlike the stage two, those are considered partial system audits, not necessarily the entire system, typically a little shorter in duration. The third year in the cycle would be the recertification audit, which, similar to a stage two, is a full system audit and results in the issuance of a new certificate. Excuse me, to start the cycle anew. Okay. If you have not already done so, please feel free to type your questions into the question field at this time. And I will go on to the next slide that has my contact information on it. Again, my name is Austin Matthews. I am the EHS program manager with PJR. I can be reached through the main PJR number or my PJR email address. And if you are a prospective customer or client looking for a quote regarding certification, I've included the sales department contact number as well. Let me pull up the questions and see if there are any I can answer. Yeah. Okay, just in case anyone's typing, as a reminder, a recording of today's presentation, as well as a copy of the slides, will be available on PJR's website. And we do offer a number of other webinar subjects as well, not just EHS related. So I definitely encourage you to take a look at the website and see if there may be any other free webinars of interest to you. I will hang out here in case anyone is typing away. Otherwise, for anyone who's ready to hop off, thank you so much for joining us today for this brief overview of the changes for e-stewards. And feel free to tune back in for a future webinar on a similar or other subject. I don't see any other questions. I don't see any, excuse me, questions coming through so far. I can also be contacted by phone or email. Thank you again for tuning in. I hope it was helpful. Feel free to tune back in the future, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you.